good morning. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Good to see you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. And what a great group of young people, of children, to be able to go to children's church. Thankful for our leaders, for our helpers. And what a great time of worship this morning. Amen. And so anybody in the house of the Lord this morning, just a little feedback. Amen. Great time of worship. And Miss Lori is here. She is making her presence known this morning. So we have been in this new study looking at the book of Philippians. And I pray this morning as we look and we turn and we get to verse 19 in the first chapter of Philippians, that we will, as we continue in this study, that I hope this morning's message, not only, I know it's going to, the scripture is relatable to you. I know it is. But we can look at this and, you know, I'm going to be very careful because when we look at this and we look at the life of Paul, it's very difficult to just look at him as a superhuman person, like someone that is not made just like we are, is not a man, just not a person, a human being just like we are. It had the same flesh and spirit that we have, and so it's very difficult when we look at him to just have him on this great pedestal that it's uncomparable to. And sometimes, though, when we look at him and we even compare our lives to him, we kind of look and we look at his life and his where his mind was, where his heart was, where his ministry was, that it's hard and it's very difficult for us to be like, how can we ever compare ourselves to someone? I know we get into this place of not comparing it to other people, but Paul really just had a unique way about him. And his love for the Lord was unbelievably genuine, and his love for the Lord was almost unmatched. And so I hope we look at that and we challenge ourselves, but I also hope that we don't take it in such a way where it's just so demoralizing to us. It's so critical, you know, it cripples us as far as being able to say, you know what, maybe there's something missing in my life. Maybe I'm not really giving the Lord my all. I know we like to sing those songs about giving the Lord our all. Lord, I surrender all. There's so many new songs too not coming to my mind right now. But of how we just say, you know, and we're in a disco lights over here this morning too, but of how we just really say and proclaim that the Lord is everything. Lord, I'm giving you everything that I am. But the Apostle Paul, when he said those things, what we see in Scripture is that he really meant those things. And so I hope this morning as we examine this that it won't be in a place where we get to a place in our hearts, in our lives, where we just say we can't live up to these things because we really don't want to get into comparison with other people like that as far as the Apostle Paul. But I hope this morning's message challenges you. Now, if you look at, we're going to go verse by verse this morning, so you're going to keep hearing me say, like, almost I'm going to read that verse or really start to talk about that verse. But we'll get to each and every one of these verses in a timely manner. But this morning, even in my Bible, and I couldn't come up with a better title than what's really labeled in my Bible, except I left out the word Christ because that was what Paul said. But in my Bible, it kind of subtitles every single one of these like passages of Scripture and or breaks it down. And in my Bible, it says to live is Christ. But really, the sermon title this morning, if you were taking notes this morning, it would be to live is and a blank, because it's for you to really fill in that blank. And when we look and we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at the Apostle Paul and what he says, but really getting honest with ourselves about where we are, what will we say for us to live is what? You know, what are we really living for? And when we, this past week, I think it was like Sunday or Monday this past week, Lisa was telling our family of talking to us about giving up something for the Lent season. And my response was, that started a couple weeks ago or something like that, a week or so ago. And we're behind schedule. And she's like, well, you know, because we don't, you know, I think it's a good practice. It's not something that you necessarily have to do, but it's something that is really good to every so often, especially during this time of anticipating the resurrection of the Lord, to maybe give something up. It's a good practice, a good principle for us to live by and for us to do. And so the kids started talking about, and we started talking about with the kids, about things we maybe could give up. Like each person, think about it. What could you give up? And so we were all having difficult things and about what we may want to give up or not give up. And some of the kids started to suggest some things that really they didn't, you know, it was easy for them to say they were going to give up. You know, I'll give up taking out the garbage, right? You know, that's, you know, just things like that. And but we all started, when we started pointing the finger at each other, we really knew what the other one really should give up. It was so easy for, I don't want to pick on my kids too much, but it was really easy because it's really like this for all of us. I can tell Jake what's wrong in his life, what really he should give up, and he could do the same for me. And it's like, Garen, you know what? You talk about this all the time. You know, this is really a top priority in your life. Like, you're always talking about this, always thinking about this. That's what you should give up. It's very difficult for us to be honest with ourselves. And a lot of times we can be brutally honest with other people. And, boy, you should really give up Fortnite, or you should really give up basketball, or you should really give up baseball, or you should give up your phone and your texting, or maybe you should give up coffee, or you should give up whatever it may be. It was easy for other people to say what that other person should give up, but it was very difficult. It's very difficult for us to talk about what we can give up. So I hope this morning we look inward, we look at ourselves, we examine our hearts and our lives, and we would actually get to a place of being honest with it. The Apostle Paul, and when we got through this, and Brother Jake really touched on this and really spoke about this last week, is we saw a few things. The Apostle Paul is in prison. The Apostle Paul has been in chains, and through him being in chains, it really made the Lord known throughout all of the world, and it really got the gospel out. While the Apostle Paul was there, he was in prison, and it was really making Christ known. And then the critics started to really come after Paul. You know, here's Paul in prison. Here's Paul. You know, if Christ is all of this and he is such a representation of Christ, you know, shouldn't these things happen? And people started preaching the gospel even in spite of Paul, or even really in contradiction almost of Paul and what he was doing. But Christ was being preached, and the Apostle Paul, we looked at that last week, because of his critics, the gospel was even being preached more so. And so it was something that Paul even rejoiced, even in his chains, even in his critics, and now even in the crisis that he's in his place of contemplating here. And through this, all that's going to be done, is what we'll look at this morning, is that the Lord is going to be magnified through this. But the Apostle Paul's life, even through difficult situations, even through other people oppressing him, and even through him being in a place of confusion about, you know, of contemplating of what he should and should not do, or where he's going to end up, or where he's going to be, the Apostle Paul was still thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and him being magnified. So as we look at this scripture this morning, let's look at and turn our attention to verse 19 in Philippians chapter 1. And I hope you're still with me this morning through all those examples. But I want, as we look at this, again, I want us to really see what Paul is really wanting to get across to us, and ultimately what the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to get through to us this morning. Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul's saying, listen, I know that this situation will turn out for my deliverance. And he gives us two reasons why it's going to turn out for his deliverance. And he tells us because of your prayer, and it's because of the supply of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to talk about it on difficult situations and talking about in deliverance of what the Lord tells us. And I want to turn, for me real quick, I'm going to turn in Romans chapter 8. And in verse 18, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." The Apostle Paul says, listen, it does not compare when we go through troubles and situations and circumstances. Romans 8:18 tells us, "For I consider the suffering of this present time as not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, it's not even comparable to God's glory. In verse 28, he tells us, for believers, he says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And so the Apostle Paul knew, he says, listen, I know that I'm a child of God. I know I'm called of the Lord. And he says, you know what? I'm doing what God has called me to do. I am standing right where I need to be. It's important for us to know where God wants us to be. It doesn't matter if it's in school. It doesn't matter, you know, as far as like higher education, if that's what drives you to a place. It doesn't matter if it's because of a job, what location that you live, or maybe in a job position that God has you. Wherever God has placed you, if you know that is where God wants you to be, that's where you need to be. And that's through those things, even through situations and circumstances and hard times, doesn't mean you shouldn't be there. It's to know, God, where do I need to be? God, where are you calling me to be? What kind of job? What kind of situation? That's why it's so important. And it's very difficult to know those things, but that's why we need to be close to the Lord, be sensitive to what God wants for us to do and where he would have us to be. Because that's where the Apostle Paul was. Even though now difficult situation and circumstances that he has found himself in, but he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. That was the safest place for him to be. And so through that, he says, listen, I'm doing all these things for the Lord, and I find myself in a really bad situation, but he had already spoken to us in the book of Romans where he says that, listen, I understand that all these things don't compare to the glory of the Lord. Even though all these situations that are happening to me, he goes, I know these things are going to work out for my good. Even he understood, even if it meant death, it was going to work out for his good. And in verse, continuing on in Romans chapter 8, he continues on in verse 36. He says, for as it is written, he goes back to scripture. He says, for your sake, for God's sake, we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, I understand that I am a shepherd. I'm a shepherd of these people. But he says, I am a sheep. I am just one of the followers of the Lord. And he goes, I know, I understand that I am as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstances that I may find myself in, I know that nothing at all, he tried to name everything possible, high, low, everything not seen, seen, all of these things, Paul named them all in this scripture. He says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. So I know that I'll not be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us this promise. He's the one that gives us this victory. He is the one that gives us this promise through him. And so listen, he understands that this deliverance that he's going to have, he already has the victory in the Lord. And he says that there's two ways that he gets this kind of deliverance. And when we understand getting that deliverance, if we live in this place of victory, if we live in this place of knowing that, you know what? No one can really do anything to me because I'm under the hand of the Lord. The Lord is the one. If something's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to me because the Lord has allowed it to happen to me. If I'm going to get through this, it's only because the Lord's going to allow me to get through this. And he says there's some reasons behind this. Now, I love probably more so after we named our first born child from a person from Philippi. Lydia was from Philippi. And once you kind of understand that and you kind of, over time, you realize, okay, what that really meant. And I've told her for such a long time now that Lydia, and that's why even in week one of this study, we were in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 19 that we were in. And it talks about her and the Philippian jailer and other people. Paul had a very special relationship with these people. He had a true love for them. And we got to know some of those names of the people that he had a relationship with when he started this church. Now, it was such a great relationship that the Apostle Paul was so ministry-driven that they were able even to talk to the Apostle Paul and persuade him to stay with them for a few more days for fellowship and to encourage each other in the Lord. That's how special of a relationship that he had with these people of Philippi. And so he saw them in their new birth. He saw them in just their fire that they had for the Lord. He loved them. And guess what? And he tells us in verse 19, they loved him. And in their maturity, while Paul was going through these circumstances and prayers, Paul says, the reason that I'm going to be delivered from this is one of the reasons is because of your prayers. And so for us, I hope that we're in a place that we are praying for one another. I said this last week when I talked about the church and some of the things that are a little bit more flamboyant. And you see me and Jake get up here, and sometimes we get a lot more credit than we deserve. And for us, if you ask us, it's the people behind the scenes that maybe are helping us out. As far as where they're in the other building, they don't get a chance to stand up here. Nobody really tells them thank you, you know, but we need them in order for us to stand up here. There's some people behind the scenes that are praying that sometimes we don't even know who are praying for the very fact that we can continue. People have reached out to other people that we don't even know about. I was on our Sunday night group, our community group last week. Someone was telling me a story of how they came here. I didn't even know that story, and it was something that happened not even in De Quincey. It happened in Lake Charles, a conversation between two people, and that it got them to come to church over here. I don't know those things. We don't even sometimes hear those things. We may not even hear most of those things on this side of glory, but there's people behind the scenes that are really encouraging other people, that are praying for other people. And he says, that's what really got me through this situation. The Apostle Paul is saying, it's because of people thinking about me. People are praying for me. People are encouraging me. He goes, it was those things that really got me out of the mess that I found myself in. And it really, he's not freed out of prison. He just knows he has the victory because of it. And one of the main reasons is because of the prayer that has been given on his behalf. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. He says, through your prayer. And I want to turn over real quick to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Like if you grew up in church like I did, and we had all of the examples, and one of the main things, and I know some people in here, a lot of people in here, I'm looking across the congregation, that have taught little kids Sunday school classes or children's church. And one of the main stories, if you've never taught this and you've taught children's church, maybe you only did it for a couple weeks, but we've all gone through the whole armor of God. You know, we love teaching that to the kids, all the whole armor of God. And so when we get to the helmet of salvation in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We talked about this, what a saint really is. It's a person who is called out, a believer, okay? It's a person who is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen, I am praying for all the saints. When you really have the mind of Christ and the heart of the Lord, he says, listen, this is what you're going to do. Continuing on verse 19 in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says, the reason that I could proclaim the mystery of the gospel and speak so boldly is because of this prayer that has been given for the saints, people like myself. And so he says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says it's because of the prayer of the believer that we can do these things. Also in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to turn there real quick too, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives us another example where he talks about that we are of the same body, that we are here together as far as in a place of, and I kind of missed over my verse. I went over the wrong verse. I apologize. But in Ephesians chapter 6, let me go back to it. I lost my, as far as in your prayer. You're going to have to excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6, we read that. I wanted to go to Titus, excuse me. In Titus, he tells young Titus, Paul does. He says, listen, it's important for us to learn from each other. It's important for us to be a sound church. And he says, and I'm going to read this real quick now that I'm back on track as far as prayer. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in speech and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior and not slandering, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may astonish the young women to love their the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And that even talks about exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And Paul is telling young Titus and Paul in this situation, he's telling them, listen, the older need to teach the younger. It's important for us to understand that we need to be praying for one another. And I think one of the things that we lack so much in the church is teaching one another. It's important for I tell this to our older community group class on Sunday nights when we meet. Be sure that you are investing of what you have learned, what you have experienced in your life. Make sure that you're teaching that to the younger people in the church. It's also just as important for the younger people in the church to be learning and asking and inquiring from the older people in the church. It's important for us to have that. Why do I bring that up through this time when Paul says, through your prayer? It's because it's important for us. We get so wrapped up in our life. We get so wrapped up in what we're doing. And if you talk to someone who has really been with the Lord, who's really met with the Lord, and who is wise in the Lord and has real true wisdom, you will see that they pray for others, that they do these things, that their mind is not just wrapped up about themselves, but their mind and their heart, where they are at in life, are wrapped up around others. Where the Apostle Paul was. He wasn't just thinking about himself. He wasn't selfish. He was thinking about other people. And he says, listen, I'm so thankful because my deliverance is going to come through because of your prayer that you had for me. And he says, and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, referring to the Holy Spirit. And he says, this supply, when you look up that word supply, it really means chorus. It really means song. This praise is going to come from the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that really drives me, brings me to the place that I need to be in this place of deliverance. That's when I wanted to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're turning with me in your Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 19, Paul says here to the Corinthian church, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, that you were bought at a price? At least one person's talking back to me this morning, amen. That you were bought with a price, and that is not to say they need to be quiet. They can talk all they want, all right? He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, that you have been bought at a price? The price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And he says, listen, that do you not know that your body is where the Lord Jesus Christ resides? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he has baptized you in his spirit. And that, you know, they had to go to church in the Old Testament. And in that assembly in the church, in that inner part, that only certain people could really go behind that veil, only that priest could go behind that veil. And in behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says between those cherubim wings on that and that furniture was dressed out to a T the way it needed to be. And in that space is where the Holy Spirit was at that time. Even when they moved to certain places, especially in the time before they had the actual temple, and they were moving through desert places and wilderness and all of those different things, wherever they would have to move it in the right way and move it accordingly. And when they would move the Ark of the Covenant, that's where the people would move to, because they wanted to be close to the Holy Spirit. They wanted to be close to Him, wherever God was telling them to move. For us today, the Apostle Paul is getting us to understand, and even referencing that scripture in 1 Corinthians, he says, do you not know that now the Spirit of God lives inside of you? And, you know, there was a great book written by J.D. Greer talking about this, and the name just slipped my mind, but, you know, in that book, it really talks about this, is do you not understand that the Old Testament saints, do you not understand those people would have loved to be in our situation? Because the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament only came at certain points and times and situations in people's lives. But after the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of believers to live and to indwell in their lives and to help them along the way to know what to do and what not to do. We can always turn to the Holy Spirit if you are a believer. And Paul says, do you not know that you are not your own, that you have been bought with a price and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? But you are not to now do what you want to do. You are to do what the Spirit wants you to do. And he says, listen, that Spirit is inside of you. How blessed we are to have him with us in our lives. And we're just not there for our own. 1 Corinthians tells us that we are there together with other people. That's why I brought that up a while ago also, is that we are to be learning from each other and to be understand that we are a body together. And the Apostle Paul says, through that body, the thing that links us together is the Holy Spirit. He says again in verse 19, we'll go through the rest of them a little bit faster, but in verse 19 he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and through the supply, through that chorus, through that singing of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And for us, and I know we can look at that verse 19 and talk about just the mind where Paul's mind was. Paul says, I'm good. I live in a place of victory. And he says, you know what? I know there's people praying for me, and I know the Holy Spirit is working these things out for my good. And I can lean into him and give me comfort when maybe nobody else is comforted. When nobody else can send those prayers, and I just got to assume and pray and hope that these people are praying. But the Spirit of God inside of me is what gives me the encouragement that I need to continue to move forward. And so I say to us today, we may not be in prison and we may not be in a full situation that Paul is, but I know that we're going through situations and circumstances in our lives. And I hope that you have found yourself in a place of victory, that you know that the Lord will deliver you, the Lord will do these things, but you got to make sure that you're in the right place. You got to make sure that you are doing what the Lord has called you to do and that you are investing in other people so that people also will invest in you. That you need to be lifting up and praying for other people. You need to be allowing people into your life so they'll be praying for you as well. You also need to be leaning into the Spirit of God and what he's wanting in and through your life. And understand your life is not your own. Your life is for the Lord and what he wants to do in and through your life. Continuing on in verse 20, Paul says, I'm in a situation here. He says, listen, I want to magnify in my body. I want the Lord to be magnified through my life. And verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I want the Lord to be magnified. It doesn't matter. He's in a situation, and I love that he gets really open and honest with the church of Philippi and even with us today, that Paul is really expressing this. He says, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of whatever happens in my life. I really, with all boldness, he says, I want Christ to be magnified. I want him in my body that would bring people closer to the Lord. And I hope this is a situation that we take really serious, because that's what I want to really focus on, is what the word magnified really means, is to really bring attention to something, to really make it bigger. And, you know, for people that we associate with, people that we just are running around with, whether it's ball or whether it's work or whether it's family, I hope that we are being a magnifying glass or help magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Lord, I pray your life is really being a reflection of who Christ is. Because a person, let me explain, try to explain this a little bit better. A person who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, Christ is really not real to them, and Christ is really distant from them. You understand? You know, they don't understand. The Bible tells us to, when thinking about things of the Lord, he's saying, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. And so for us, if you've experienced what it is to have a relationship with the Lord, and if you've seen the Lord take you from dire situations in your life, meaning that, you know what, I was going nowhere, and I was headed to a place of destruction, which is nowhere, and the Lord changed my direction. The Lord gave me life when I didn't have life. And now even through my life, as I live, I am finding myself in a situation that even through difficult situations and circumstances in my life, that the Lord is still good and he's still showing me blessings and so much in my life that whenever I go through difficult situations and people are looking at me and how am I going to react, what am I going to do in these situations, you know, how am I going to behave, that maybe people can see the Lord Jesus Christ in and through my life. And the Apostle Paul finds himself here in this situation. He's saying, listen, I am in a situation that I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it's through life or whether it's through death. And when we get to the next verse, we'll understand why Paul is saying that. But Paul is not contemplating committing suicide. Paul is not trying to give up in this situation. Paul is just knowing that they could easily, through man, because of their accusations towards him, could easily take his life. But he also knows that God could easily turn the switch on, just as that switch was turned off and on a while ago, that the Lord could choose to do whatever he wanted to do with Paul's life and use the bad situation and negativity and all these things that were happening in his life turn out for them to take Paul's life. And Paul knew that. And he knew the Lord would allow him to do that. And he knew that he was in a place where whether I go or whether I stay, he goes, it's going to be up to the Lord. And no matter what, Paul says, my heart's desires, the Lord would be magnified through it all. And I hope people will see Christ a little bit better through it. And that's what Paul's aim was. And for us, you know, we're, you know, hopefully, and I don't think we're in a situation, hopefully you're not in this situation, but if, you know, for us, what we could take from it is maybe not life or death, but you know what? Through my circumstances and situations, may I be in a place to be able to still show joy and love and understanding that it's not so much about me and my life, but it's to bring other people closer to the Lord. You know, starting with our family, starting with the people around us, that our aim, our focus would be to for them to be able to see Christ, for them to really be able to see and bring them in, for them to see and to know what it is to really have a relationship with the Lord. The people that are close to us, I pray that we would at least start there. As we continue on in verse 21, and I want to say this before we get to verse 21 as far as being magnified. I want us, because I have this in my notes, and I don't want to skip over this, because I think I wrote this down for a reason, is that whether you're a youth, whether you're a young adult, married with young children, married, older children, single, retired, you know, grandchildren, whatever situation that you find yourself in, I pray we don't ever put ourselves in, because everybody, every one of those groups that I named, or maybe even children before that, every one of those groups that I named, and if I didn't name your category, add your category to it. But we could always have excuses of why, or give us an out of why we can't be a help and be that person that God wants us to be. You know, I'm just a young person, or I'm past my prime of doing those things. You know, what I love about being around other Christians, around other believers, is that when I see them doing things that it really makes no sense for them to be doing, it really blesses my heart. Because whenever they could be retired and living the good life, they're doing things that are just blowing the young people out of the water. or a young person that's doing something else. I don't know of another example, but you know, when you're doing things that are out of the ordinary, it's not because of expectations, it's because of just your love for the Lord, and you maybe see a need and you just do it. It blesses me, and it makes me want to make sure that I'm covering my bases and that I'm doing things out of that things that I don't even have to do as well. Because the Lord not only, I mean, he really loved us and cared for us, and he even loved the people that didn't love him back. He went out of his way, out of his, not the people that loved him and not even his own kind as far as Israel, but he died for the entire world. He lavished his love for everyone. And he went outside of that box. And for us, that's why I wanted to mention that. We need to be magnifying the Lord in and through our lives and our body, and that's where Paul was. In verse 21, of course, our key verse this morning, and we'll kind of move a little bit faster. He says, "For to me to live is Christ." For us, if we can go back to that first illustration that I used at the beginning, is for me to live is blank. Boy, I can go through different stages of my life and think about where I was. I try to, you know, my kids, I didn't push so much in athletics on them as I was. If you were looking at me at 15 years old, all I was thinking about was football. Little old scrawny kid like myself. That's all I thought about. I wasn't thinking about school. I was thinking about football. If you'd asked me at that time, and I can go through different stages of my life, but time fails me. But I think about that stage. That's all I thought about. And so, you know what? It might have been better for me to, you know, say, "Lord, I'm going to give this up for a period of time." And sometimes when you think about that, and that's an easy example. We could pick on a 16-year-old kid. But what about us? What's something right now that, you know, is, you know, for me, I remember, you know, so at 16 years old, instead of me giving it up, I remember standing up and sharing. It was youth night, and, they, you know, of course, they wanted somebody to speak, so I guess the youth minister's kid needed to say something. So I got up and kind of shared my story. And so for me, football was my life, and I wasn't willing to give it up. And then getting injured and having a situation where I was really hurt, it made me give it up. And so for us, I hope we find ourselves that we, whatever we do, whatever we participate in, that is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ." We can easily say that. And we can title that sermon that. But what is it that we're really living for? You know, this day and age, this past week, I was listening to a sermon from Adrian Rogers talking about this verse particular. And this was probably, it was really something that was preached out of the vault. So it probably was like 30 years ago that he preached this message. And when he named it, he was naming like job, career, all of these things. And I'm thinking, golly, that's so dated, because now that generation did live for those things. Now we live for not only ourselves, but we live for our kids. We live for all of these different things. That is A number one on our list. I hope and pray for our church that we would be teaching and developing people that to say, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. And everything else is just details. Everything else is, if I live for Christ, I can be the husband that I need to be. If I live for Christ, I can be the father that I need to be. If I live for Christ, I can be all of these things to all of these people that I need to be if I live for Christ. And continuing on, he says, or to die is gain. Paul understood that. Because, and the only reason that he had this is that the Lord had brought him, allowed him to see the third heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ was, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians. And so Paul had a taste of heaven, and he saw something that was greater than what we understand. And so Paul knew, he says, I know what's waiting for me. I know that it's sweeter and better than anything that we can know or understand. And so Paul said and understood, he says, I've had a taste in my mouth of going back to heaven. And he says, I'm here for a reason. So, you know, if you want to threaten me, if somebody would have threatened Lazarus, I think that's a better example for us too. If somebody would threaten Lazarus, I'm going to take your life. We all know the story of Lazarus, of how that he died, he was sick, and the Lord called him back up. And he came back to life, and somebody, they literally threatened him after about killing him. How are you going to kill somebody that the Lord just raised up? You understand that the Lord could just raise him up again, right? And so when Paul had the taste of heaven, and you're threatening him with his life, Paul said, What are you going to do, kill me? What are you going to do, give me what I really want? Or I can stay here and continue to do what God has called me to do. And so Paul says, listen, it doesn't really matter what you do to me. For us, we're so scared about those things because we've not understood what heaven is really about. One of the things that we have really lacked in the modern church, one of the things that I hate for us is because a lot of our old hymns, a lot of our traditional things, we would really talk about heaven. We would sing about heaven. We would celebrate the things of heaven. And today, we shy from it. We don't talk about those things anymore. And for us, we need to understand God is preparing a place for us. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He said, you are going to be with me. And Paul really understood those things. And the reason he was not ready for that play, really, he was in a situation, he says, well, if I die, it's gain. I get to be with the Lord, but if I continue to live for Christ, and I get to even magnify the Lord even more through other people. And he says in verse 22, he continues in this place of hard press in 22 through 24. And we're going to move quickly. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Paul's given us an insight of where he is in his life. Fruit for your labor is really nice. It's really nice. You know, I'm praying for my neighbor to really plant a very nice vegetable garden so that he can do all the work and the sweat and the work and the sweat and the work and the pruning and all of that, and we can just come on over and just pick from it, right? I've been a part of that in churches. I've been a part of, Lisa and I, has been a part of situations where we have blood, sweat, and tears into churches and have not saw it through, have left out. God has called us out different things. And those churches are in a different place now, and the Lord has taken them and used them. And, you know, sometimes we've been able to experience that. And for me being here and going through so much difficulty and stressful blood, sweat, and tears over the first 6 years, it's nice to start seeing some fruit of that labor. And Paul says, listen, I am in a situation here in verse 22. He says, "Then listen, if I live in the flesh, then that means I can see fruit from my labor. Not just to strive and strive and strive and not see any fruit come out of it." Paul says, it sure would be nice if I continue to be here that I can start seeing this fruit from my labor. And he continues on. He says, in verse 23, he says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needed for you." He says, "If I stay here, I get to see fruit from my labor. If I stay, it's more needed for you. You actually need me to be here." He says, because you need to continue to grow. You need to continue to mature. You need all these things. Paul says, listen, it's needed for me to be here for you. He says, but I understand that I could be with Christ. It's like I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I've seen it. I've tasted it. I really want to be there. But he says, I know that it would be better to stay here for you. And he says, also to see the fruit of this labor that I have endured for such a long time. Verse 25 and 26, and we'll be done. He says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain. Paul allowed us in to see his dilemma here. But he tells us the answer. He tells us where he's going to be. He says, and being confident of this. The reason that he had the confidence is what were not in the circumstances that were there, because they were trying to do everything that they possibly could, not only to keep Paul in prison, but to really execute him. And Paul had a confidence that was beyond just anything, because he had that much confidence in the Lord. He had such a relationship with the Lord in communication with him that he knew what they had conversations with each other. He spoke to the Lord. The Lord spoke and revealed some things to him in his life. And the Lord wants to do the same for us. He really wants to have that kind of intimate, personal conversation with you and I. And Paul says, I'm confident in this, and that I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and the joy of faith.
He says, I believe it in the progress and in the joy of faith. He says in verse, if you look back in verse 12 of Philippians 1, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, listen, their progress is being made. And he says, listen, this is why I'm going to remain. He says, and continue with you for your progress. I need to see you continue. I need to see you continue to grow. I need you to see you take a step and another step and another step. It's important for us to be developing and growing in the Lord. And if we're not pushing ourselves, if we're not striving for these things, and if we're really not trying to better ourselves, not just to be a better person, but to be more like Christ, where am I at in my life? If you could think about a time in your life that you were more spiritual in your spiritual growth than you are right now, then you're going backwards. You need to continue to move forward in your life in the Lord. You say, you know what? I was really on fire for the Lord when I was 16 or 17 years old. I was really on fire for the Lord when, you know, at 25 years old. I was really on fire for the Lord when this happened. No. We need to be progressing in the Lord. And Paul's saying, listen, I'm going to stay here with you. I am going to be with you because I want to see you progress. I'm going to tell you a little secret. And, you know, for us, we really, I'm saying for us, I'll say me and Jake, when we really had a heart for this church is because we felt like we really wanted to have a temperature of where our people are. We want to be engaged with you. We want to be invested in your life, and we want to know where you're at. We don't want to be false. We don't want to be fake, and we don't want to have a false understanding that everything is okay. We want to be invested in your life, and we want to see you take the next steps in your life, wherever they are. Everybody's at different stages and situations in their life, but we want to have a real temperature of our church and we'll have a real temperature of where you are in your life to see you progress in the Lord. And it's important for that to happen. And Paul is saying, listen, it's important for you to have that personal responsibility, and it's important for me as your leader to see you progress in the Lord. And he says, and to have joy of faith in your life. And the way we can really have joy of faith in our life is really to have faith. Is meaning that I'm going to trust the Lord. There's some things, Paul, the reason he was so confident in what he was saying that he's going to stay, because God revealed that to him, and now he's trusting God in those things. What are we really trusting God for in our life? You know, we're, if you're like me, I have not planned enough, I have not prepared enough for the future, probably 5 years, 10 years, or retirement enough. I know I've not. Let me just say it that way, okay? But, you know, we need to be in a situation in our life where we're a little bit more disciplined of like, you know what? What am I really praying for? What am I really trusting God for? Not to just flippantly live my life, you know, but what am I trusting God for in my children's life? What am I trusting God for in my personal life? What am I trusting God for in my financial life, in my career, in all of these things? Am I really leaning into him and trusting him and having a faith to see God do these things in our life? And so Paul is saying, listen, I have this kind of faith and I have joy in the Lord because of what the Lord is wanting to do in and through our lives. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you know, tells us that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he gives us a whole list in that chapter of people who just really believed on God, really believed him for what God was going to do in their life. Paul says, I want to see you living this way. I want to see you striving this way. And Paul finishes off in Philippians, and turn back in my Bible, Philippians, the last verse, verse 26, in this place of progress and joy that he's, a joy of faith that he's talking about, he says that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for my coming to you again. He's saying, listen, I want all this because I want you to have this great time of rejoicing when I come back to you again. Paul understood the responsibility that he had for the church. The Bible tells us that when we come, we can lay all of our burdens on Him. That He says, listen, the things that are troubling you, He says, like an oxen that you put a yoke on Him, all those things that you bear the weight on your shoulders, the Lord's saying, listen, you can put those things on Me. He said, because listen, my yoke is easy, My burden is light. He tells us in the book of Matthew, He's saying, listen, I can handle those things. And Paul, as a leader, he put those things on himself as well. He knew the Lord had not released him of those people. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm ready to continue on in this journey with you. I'm ready to see you progress. I'm ready to see you have the faith. If you think I have this great faith, Paul's saying, I want you to have this kind of great faith. And so for us today, I'm asking you and me, I hope that we could fill in that blank. I hope if we had a test in the beginning, if we got really honest, we would have said to live is something about us. But I hope our prayer, our hope today that we would at least have our want to is to live is Christ. Is to live is Christ. And to really see that, listen, I can lean on the Lord. I can trust Him. I know that I'm not in this in myself, that I can lean on other people. I need to invest in other people's lives, and they will lean in and invest in my lives as well. I want to pray for us this morning as we respond to what God has spoken to us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for this time, Lord God. Thank You for allowing us to be in this place. I pray, Lord God, that You will continue to just speak to our hearts today, Lord God, as we respond to You. Lord, I pray that You would just really take this time, Lord God, and we would just look and see of how You want to continue to just pour in and through our life today, Lord God. Lord, we love You and we praise You. We thank You so much, Lord God, for what You're doing. I pray that You would really just continue to use us as instruments for You today, Lord God. Again, Lord God, we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this morning.